Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. It's your host Chris here with Ro and Brandon, and we are here to review Terminator Dark Fate. Well, at least Brandon and I are here to review that because Ro did not see this film, but I think she's going to stay on and listen to us. James Cameron is back to direct. He also, I believe he wrote this. Directed by Tim Miller. And Sarah Connor and a hybrid cyborg woman, cyborg human, but protect a young girl from a newly modified liquid Terminator from the future. I guess as you can say, this is technically supposed to be the follow-up to T2. I believe that's what they're doing. Here's the thing. I wasn't really checking for this film, so I didn't really check out any of the pre-promo and where it's set, but I believe this is supposed to be a direct sequel to T2. And
no, it's not believed. That's exactly what they're promoting it as. They're saying this is the, you do not have to watch Genesis or Salvations or any of that bullshit in the middle. This is the direct sequel to T2. Don't even watch the third one. This is the direct sequel to T2.
Yeah, he rolling it all back. That's why I need to know what y'all think.
Retcon.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's what I got for this. I mean, it's first, I'll be honest here, really wasn't checking for a Terminator film, so I didn't really care. Let's be honest here. There's a whole thing about how Terminator time travel is just freaking quirky as shit anyway and doesn't make any fucking sense. So that's already there, and they're definitely leaning on that here. We'll get more. This is going to be another one of those films. This is the non-spoiler review. We'll do the spoiler review right after this, so we'll go into more detail there. I think the overall thing for me is it's fine. It's serviceable. It could have been a lot worse. I've seen way worse in these kind of things when you're going to rehash and say, no, this one is now the direct actual sequel to this movie that we just did. We could have gotten something way worse. It could have been Predators or Predator, the last Predator film, or The Predator. Could have been that. Uh-huh. It's not. At the same time, I just kind of felt, as I went through the whole thing, going like, okay, am I supposed to care now? Are they going to do more of these now? Like, what are we doing? Did we just relaunch the Terminator franchise again? I don't care.
I don't know. First off, for me, it's pretty much this. They spent $185 million supposedly on this movie.
Not smart. No.
Where? Because it's just where? There's so much CGI, there's so much unnecessary CGI. I don't know if it's the new thing in Hollywood to do this 120 frame per second bullshit theater shooting cinematic universe bull crap, whatever that Gemini Man is trying to ride on for the 6 select theaters you had to choose from to watch that shit. But there are moments of Matrix Reloaded in this as well where I'm just kind of like, dog, this is too much. Like, it's the action starts off good, and then they hype and amp it up. At least it's like somebody's like, turn up the frames. And that's what happens. And niggas just started like turning into animation unnecessarily. So you start off great, and then it goes bad. The scenes where they bring Arnold in as the T-800 or Carl work better because I feel like he refuses to be CGI. He's like, no, I can still do these stunts. I was governor. So they let him fight for real. They had a good cast here. What they're working with, you know, Gabriel Luna as whatever this new species. I don't know if any of y'all have played Surge, but he's literally ripped out of the Surge. There is an enemy in the later portion of the Surge that has all of the abilities that Gabriel Luna has here. And I was like, somebody who helped write this plays that game, because there's no way. Either that or they played the game, was it Prototype?
Yeah, came out Prototype. Yeah.
Fucking Prototype, man. Like, y'all, this is not original, you guys. This is, y'all went back in the past to steal this idea, because this is not new.
And let me say that, like, I mean, I came off kind of negative because I just don't care. And let me say up front, I think anybody who goes to see this film and pay money for this film is going to come out and like this film. You will. That's just what it's going to be. That's why I say it's fine. It's serviceable enough. I probably wouldn't have paid to go see this if I didn't see it for free. I would not be paying to go see this because I just don't care enough about this stuff. But I think there's enough stuff here that people are going to like, right? You know, like you said, I think what they did with Gabriel Luna's character, the Rev 9 as the version of Terminator he's called, is, I mean, I'm not going to lie, he's dope as shit. Like, it's, he does his thing.
I always found it interesting in Terminator films that when they're shown as robots, which they absolutely have to show you the war and the robots and they just don't show a robot stepping on a skull in this one specifically, but you feel like that moment is coming because they show a skull.
I was waiting for them to do it like three times. There's a skull and water. I'm waiting for the robot. You're not going to do it. Okay, well, that's
rips scenes. It's like the Terminators have always been straight robots when they're seen robots, but when they're humans, when you see them as cyborgs or humans, or they have the skeleton over them to hide amongst us and do their terminating, then all of a sudden they develop a personality. And Gabriel Luna's personality as Rev-9 is amazing. Like, he's sarcastic, he's funny, he's an asshole, he's a dickhead, he's mean, he's nice, like, he's cordial, he's inviting, he's stabby. It's just a bunch of shit going on where they were like, yo, Gabriel, just like, liven up this dude. And he does it. You know, Arnold as the T-800 is very kind of stiff, but in a comical way. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was funny because they grew his character. Linda Hamilton is Linda Hamilton, and there are a whole lot of moments where I feel like they're more dressing her up costume-wise to be badass than anything actual spectacle she does is badass. And then there are moments where she shows up, and it's pretty badass because when you turn the frames up and then do it in slow motion, it looks so much better, especially at her age. I think she's like 63. She can still kind of carry the badass shit, but quickly she falls to the background, and you realize her character really holds no significance at this point in the story. Because of the intro of the film and what they do to completely retcon it from everything else. When they make that, when that moment happens, I was kind of like, so why is she still here?
To keep people in the theaters.
It is. Right. She's here to be Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because it's entertaining. Her grizzly is very entertaining. Her weapons are weapons of mass destruction, and she masses a lot of destruction. I'm completely okay with that. Mackenzie Davis, I feel like, is wasted, though. I feel like Mackenzie Davis is a very good actress, and I feel like the moments where they tell her to fight, I feel like she actually worked with a choreographer. Mm-hmm. I feel like she studied her moves. She really fed into the action, but I feel like when it comes to them developing her character, they use her. I don't even know. They kind of use her as a heel to a plot that they're trying to build. And yeah. I didn't appreciate that because I don't know how memorable it makes her character.
I think people
amongst all of the other characters in this film, right? Because essentially, yeah. When you find out what's really going on, she's just an Uber.
Right. It's like I've seen some other reviews where they give her a lot of credit. For the character, and I really like her character, but I think it's because of the action scenes, because she's fantastic in those. But like you said, as a fleshed out character, not so much, and it's not because of her acting abilities or anything of her fault. It's because the script doesn't give her anything. But then again, remember, this is a James Cameron script. So I said this with Alita too. I don't believe. Here's the thing. There are certain characters and certain female characters we have that we know of, right? And women who play those characters that have embodied the idea of badass female character, right? Linda Hamilton's character is one of them, right? Everybody knows Sarah Connor. Like that is what happens. Like you know who Sarah Connor is there. However, when you really dig down into it, can you really say that James Cameron really wrote a strong female character? Right? Did he really? Did he? Is she really? Or is it just because he allows her to do badass things and that's it? Is she really that flesh of it? Look at it this way. Look at what we have here. Like what you said about in this movie here. Is she really a fully formed, fleshed out character? Or is she kind of, honestly, one-dimensional?
No, she's another Terminator.
Right. And so
Terminator. The only person in this film that isn't a Terminator is Natalie Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only person that's not is a Natalia Reyes. She's not a Terminator.
Right.
Everyone else than Hamilton is a Terminator. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a Terminator. Mackenzie Davis is a Terminator. Gabriel Luna is a Terminator. And it's fine. It's really four Terminators in this movie. Four. I don't have a problem with that if you cut the dialogue back, and they don't cut the dialogue back. So the Terminators have better dialogue than the people who are closer to humanity in this film, which is ridiculous. It's so bad at certain points. But then I look, Chris, and I look up the people who wrote this. So David Goyer did this screenplay, which when I saw his name at the beginning, I was like, David Goyer, James Cameron, and Tim Miller on the same project? This should be better than it is. Then I look and see who wrote with him, Billy Ray. So I go look up Billy Ray. I'm not aware of his work. He's done films like Overlord. He's done Captain Phillips. He's done some good stuff. You know what else he did this year, though? Gemini Man. And I'm like, wow. How do you co-write on Gemini Man and Terminator and Richard Jewell? Richard Jewell looks like it's going to be good. I am so baffled at who is the person responsible for some of the atrocious dialogue in this movie.
What do you think? I mean, when you say the film should be better, I'm sorry. I'm going to bring up Alita again. Are we really that surprised? I came out of the theater going, yo, somebody really needs to start not letting James Cameron have, because I'm not sure if he wrote anything, wrote Alita, but I know he had hands in Alita. Like, come on, dog. Like, this is becoming a recurring theme. He cannot write, and he should not have. He's another one of those old directors who I feel like is definitely living off of their past successes. And I'm not saying that James Cameron still can't do a film. Like, this isn't, to me, one of her more beautiful films. Obviously, Alita is beautiful. So it's not saying that James Cameron definitely still has talent and definitely can still keep making films. At the same time, I got to be honest. And yeah, he definitely wrote the story by Terminator and Alita. I'm going to be honest here. He doesn't... technical consultant. I don't need you to write this stuff because your dialogue feels dated. I think it was fine for the time. Maybe, I don't know, some people might disagree and say it wasn't even fine for the time, but fine. I'll give you that. I'll grandfather you in on that shit. But at this point, I'm not surprised. Like, think about it. If we go to see Avatar 2 through 10, whatever the fuck he's doing those, are any of us going to be surprised that the film looks beautiful, but the dialogue is goddamn trash? No, of course not. We all know it's going to be trash. We know it's going to be trash.
I think it's a little bit simpler than that, even. I think everything you're saying possibly can be true. But I'd like to take another approach to it. James Cameron has been doing this shit for like 2 centuries. And he's just not that good anymore. He's not as good as he was when he was in his prime. He's not. So when you look at films like this and you're like, this is the direct sequel to Terminator 2. And you go back and you watch T2 Judgment Day. T2 Judgment Day is fucking amazing. The dialogue is amazing. The action scenes are amazing. The pace of it is amazing. Character development is amazing. This film lacks good pacing. It has an unnecessary amount of locations. They literally rip scenes from T2 and try to reimagine and reshoot them, and they don't look nearly as well done or as good. The whole truck chase scene from T2 is in this movie. The opening Mack truck chase scene with the fucking dirt bike and the Harley that Arnold Schwarzenegger's on is in this movie, just not with those vehicles or those people. And it's not as good. You know, there's not a, I feel like they ripped a whole carrier scene from Fast and Furious. And again, it's not as good as the one in Fast and Furious. It's just there's so many points in this film where I'm like, it's not original what you're doing. And the action is okay. It's like the action is good and then it's okay. And then it's like, that was really bad. So I feel like it got overcomplicated. And even with all of that, right? Because I can sit here and I can pick this shit apart. I mean, the name of the new Terminator is the Rev-9. That is an amazingly, like, unextraordinary name. T-1000 to the day I go is still one of the most badass names for a fucking villain character. Rev-9, it sounds like some racer shit.
I can't wait to get the spoilers, because, like, I got a whole thing on what they did here, because, honestly, this shouldn't even really be a Terminator film at this point, but whatever.
It's just not good, man. But the only thing that makes me not dig into this film is, one, it's a Terminator film. It's like the 7th. And 2, holy shit, did they hold a middle finger up to racist ass Republican conservative America at so many great points. I was like, because there were audibly upset Trump supporters in our theater at some of the lines that were spoken by characters.
So what you're saying is I should go see it for that.
I love like I hear Chris over there with the hmms. I'm telling you, not saying that you'll get the same reaction from people that we got in our theater, but they did not hold back about how they feel about U.S. Border Patrol in this movie. And shout out to Gabriel.
I mean, you remember, I live in San Diego, so I live in a border town.
I'm being honest. I think you're overselling that. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and there are moments there. It ain't enough for me to put down. You've seen them theater tickets prices. I ain't paying enough for that. You can get the YouTube video of that. You get the gift of that by the end of the weekend.
I think Gabriel Luna has an amazing scene in U.S. Border Patrol in this movie.
And I mean, he does.
It is worth early ticket admission. Like, if you go at 10 in the morning and you pay $5, I think it's absolutely worth it. So that's just me. I was like, there's really nothing else exciting about this film. Just the amount of fucks they did not give.
I'll be perfectly honest. I think the thing that gets me, I would be more willing to agree with that and to tell people to go see this film. First of all, you're going to go do it anyway, so it doesn't fucking matter what we say in this film. Like, we could be like, this film is goddamn trash, and a lot of y'all will go out and see it anyway, right? Because you're just like, oh, I like this. I've come to just accept that fucking fate that we're just...
Right, everybody wants to be a fake critic now. I saw all those films you saw, too.
I just fuck it, whatever. Like, I don't have FOMO like that, so I don't have a fear of missing out on anything. People are like, come on, you know you're going to go see Joker. You know you're going to go see him. No, I'm not. I stick to my guns on certain things. But here's my thing about this. My bottom line thing on this film is it's fine. I would probably be more forgiving of it, to be perfectly honest, if it looked better. I don't think like there are certain parts where it's fine. There are other parts where, honestly, for a film that has James Cameron's name on it, with all the problematic stuff that comes with that problematic white man, I expect a better looking film. I just do. If you're going to put James Cameron's name on it, and I know he was directly involved in this film, and I know the Terminator is his fucking baby, and there's a whole big thing about it, I expect this film to look a lot better in certain action sequences than it does. There's a whole thing that we mentioned. Brandon had this whole thing when we left talking about there's certain ads, and you can see it all the time in Gemini Man. You can see it in all these films. When you start getting characters running and there is an actual human character, but they have to CGI it out, you start seeing it just becomes, you can tell that it's CG, and like it just starts falling apart. And there's a lot of those scenes like that where things, like it's almost like the characters become rubbery almost. And like you said, you brought up Matrix. It's kind of like that a little bit. And in 2019, with a James Cameron film, knowing what he did with Alita, I got to be honest. And when you told me that when you say this film costs $180 million to make, I'm like, where did it go? And there's other scenes here because you do get there's a scene here where they give you young looking Linda Carter. I mean, Linda Hamilton. And I'm like, damn, okay. And so it starts off with me going, okay, we're going to do it this way. And then there's parts of this film that just do not look good. And that's where my issue with this film comes in. Like, I can deal with the one-dimensional characters. I can deal with the fact that, I mean, there's a character, you mentioned her, but we barely mentioned her. I mean, this film really should be about Danny, and she's fine. It's okay. All right. I see what you guys are doing with this. I can go with that. But it just doesn't look as good as it should for me to actually give a shit and put money towards it. And that's just where I come from with this.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I think that's the sad part. That's why I say, ultimately, I just don't think James Cameron is as good as he was. And I think I think Hollywood believes because he's James Cameron, we just keep throwing millions of dollars at him and we'll get a project that is worthy of the James Cameron name. And I guess because this is a Terminator film, it's already got that stamp. But ultimately, halfway through this film, I wanted to go home and watch T2. I said, can I just go watch T2? Maybe it's because Gail Ann Hurd isn't here. a lot of those productions back then, he had a hand in.
Yeah.
Maybe isn't here. That's what's missing. But again, it's a Terminator film. It's, I'm sure, better than the other Terminator films y'all been getting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say it's better than T3 and better than, definitely better than Salvation. I mean,
I haven't seen Salvation or Genesis, bro. I was like, no.
I think Salvation is the one where they basically spoil the fucking film in the trailer anyway, so you didn't really need to go see it anyway. So, yeah. I mean, and I'll say this. T3 wasn't that bad. I think T3 might have been okay. I don't know. I can't. Here's the thing. I'm going to be honest. I don't give a shit about the Terminator films. I know T2 is supposed to be the greatest thing in the world for a lot of people. I just don't give a shit. I just don't.
We're not going to do that. T1 and T2 are fire.
No, they're fine. I just don't care. There's just films I just don't care at this point.
It's like me and the Godfather films. I just don't care.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like I get people that are very attached to these films, so I'm not trying to take that away from people. I just don't care. And same thing with the Godfather films. Like, people are like, oh, Godfather 2 is great. I'm like, yeah, I just don't give a shit. You've never seen it. I've seen it plenty of times. I just don't care at this point.
I've actually never seen them all completely through, because when I see certain,
they're long as fuck.
I just don't care. I'd rather go watch Casino.
They're long as fuck. I'm gonna watch. So we can get to the spoiler review. What would you give this film out of 10?
Out of 10?
Yeah.
What number Terminator film is this?
I think it's 6. That's why I gave it a 6.
6? It gets a 6 out of 10.
I'm not sure if it's 6. It might be 4. But
according to James Cameron, it's 3.
So we're going to... So 2 times 3, it's 6. There's 2 of us reviewing the film. It's 3. This is the 3rd Terminator film, according to James Cameron. It's a 6.
Terminator time travel math is great.
Right. You know, we give it a Terminator time travel math is a 6 out of 10. There you guys have it.
I will be back with the same enthusiasm that Lyndall Hamilton said that shit with in the trailer.
God damn it.
God, that line was, it's so, delivery was so bad.
That's all the lines in this film. All right, folks, like I said, become a premium member, premium.mtrnetwork.net, and you'll hear us talk about the spoilers of this film, go into more detail, where we really fall in this film. Again, I don't even know why you're listening to the review. You're probably already in line buying your ticket to go see this film anyway, so do you, homie. I can't stop you. I can't pocket watch. I can't help you, you know, save money. So, hey, do what you got to do. You can find the rest of the reviews, movie trailer reviews on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We're trying to hit the 200. Again, make sure you sign up for premium, premium.mtrnetwork.net. And until next time, we're out of here. Peace.